experience for the first time a Camp High where I was like, I want to live here. Like, if I could just stay here all the time, I think God lives here. Like, let's just be here all the time. And I experienced that all through when I was a youth. And then when I became a youth pastor, same thing would happen. We would go to camp, right? And my students would come back, and guess what they would want to do all the time? Like, hey, can we sing that song we sing at camp? That really fun. Can we keep singing that like all year long? Can we go back in the winter? Can we like go twice a year? When's camp again? And they looked forward to either camp or Disciple Now weekend as like, those are my big times when I really grow. Okay, now there's nothing wrong with those weekends, nothing wrong with camp. The problem is this: if that's all you're depending on, okay, it's not going to be sustainable if that's, you're just depending on going to that place. Again, thinking like, well, that's the only time or place God works. So let me share with you guys a story of something I did this year. Never done this before. I surprised my 8 and 10-year-old this year, and we woke them up, and we said, guess what? You're not going to school today. Get dressed, get in the car. They saw suitcases. We're going somewhere. They figured out, oh my goodness, we're going to the airport. We're going to the airport. Oh my goodness, we're going to Orlando. Oh my goodness. And then we kept giving them clues. I took my kids to Disney. Okay? How many have been to Disney World? Anyone in here? Okay. We got to go not just to the Magic Kingdom. We did Hollywood Studios. And of course, we did Rise of the Resistance. We did the Millennium Falcon ride. We did the Guardians of the Galaxy ride at Epcot. It was an awesome few days while we were there. Here's what I realized. I want you to listen to this, though. After we did, like, Rise of the Resistance, which is this incredible Star Wars ride that involves all your senses, all of this stuff, what I realized was we can't go back to this now. You know, like, in front of a lot of little stores, there's, like, for a quarter, you put this in, and, like, you just sit there, and there's, like, this is all you do, right? When my kids were really, really little, that we didn't tell them that it actually moved. We're like, yeah, go ahead, ride it. And they'd sit there like, this is so cool. And then later they realized, oh, it's supposed to move, right? Anyways, what I realized was now that we've seen Rise of the Resistance or Guardians of the Galaxy ride, this you realize, okay, this isn't that great. Does that make sense? So what happens a lot of times on these weekends is all of a sudden for the first time you realize, man, what I've been settling for isn't that great. I'm missing out on something. And let me tell you what Jesus said in John 10:10. Jesus said, you've got an enemy who wants to steal and to kill and destroy. Okay, that's the devil. But he said, I have a purpose. I have a reason, something I want to give you. I've come to give you life to the fullest, abundant life. And what happens is, on weekends like this or camp, you know what begins to happen? Some of you, for the first time, you go, I got a taste of that. I think I like that. I don't think I want to go back to this. Okay, something's different. So maybe you have these emotions that are like this. After this, I really want to start reading my Bible. I've just been convicted, like, oh my goodness, God's word is so important because I realize that now. Maybe you realize I need to just surrender all. Like you say big things like, I promise I'll never go back. Like I'm going to surrender all to you. Maybe you realize maybe I need to break up with him or her. They're not actually good for me. Or these friends I need to reevaluate. Okay? It could be that you think, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to change this. Now that I've seen the light, now that I've been convicted of this, I want to stop. I want to change. Okay? Or even your attitude is, I'll never go back. I don't want to ever go back. But for some of you, you've also realized, like, that is really well-meaning now, but then, I don't know, is it really going to change? Am I really going to go back? Now, I want you to imagine, let me go back to my Disney illustration. When you walk in the Magic Kingdom, okay, there, you're about to go into Main Street, but there's always some park benches right there, okay? Imagine I take my family, we walk into Disney, we sit down on those park benches on Main Street, and we stay there all day long. Wouldn't that be weird? Are we in the kingdom, though? Are we in the kingdom? Yeah, we're in the Magic Kingdom. Are we experiencing all that the Magic Kingdom has to offer? Not at all. Like, we might see, like, the parade might come in front of us and we could hear some stuff or at night see fireworks, but we are missing out on Pirates of the Caribbean and Space Mountain and the Jungle Boat Cruise. Like, all of the things that Walt Disney had in mind when he created Disneyland, Disney World, we're missing out on it. So, yeah, we're in the kingdom, but we're just going to sit in there like, well, I guess this is it. We're in the kingdom. That would feel like a waste, right? Wait, you went all the way to Florida and that's all you did? Yeah, but we got in the kingdom. No. And even imagine this. What if Walt were still alive and he were to walk up to you and say, hey, let me take you on a tour of this whole place. We're going to ride all the rides together. I'll tell you what I had in mind when I thought up, you know, the Haunted Mansion, what I had in mind when I came up with Peter Pan ride. And you get to see all behind the scenes. Would that be different? A personal tour of the Magic Kingdom, right? But this is where a lot of you are. You're in the kingdom, but you're sitting right there in the park bench and you're missing out on all this other stuff that it was designed for you to experience. But you come to a weekend like this. Can you guys see what I have up here? On this side, I've got all of these really luscious grapes. They're really, really yummy. Who did I say I was going to? Yeah, you said you wanted one. Okay, good. What? Somebody else had their hand up? They're really good. Okay, now that's enough. I'm going to run out of grapes. Some of you, here's what's happening. You come to a weekend like this, and you go, okay, this is what I want. You have this little taste, and you just go, okay, that's really good. Because what I have right now is this. These are shriveled up grapes. These aren't appealing. They're no, I'm not going to give them to you. Some of you are like, I think this is what I've been settling for. And all of a sudden this weekend, I got this taste. I want that way more often. I want to have that. Okay? So what is it about Disciple Now weekends, D-Town? What is it about camp? If you look on your outline right there, what creates the camp high in the first place? Anyone know what this is? What is this? It's a greenhouse. Can anything grow outside of a greenhouse? Yeah. But what is it about a greenhouse that makes it where optimal growth, things grow easier in a greenhouse? Well, you're blocking out the wrong environments and the elements. You've got the right temperature. You've got the right amount of light, the right amount of water, right? So things can grow easier in a greenhouse. Here's what I want you to think of. When you go to camp, when you go to D-Town, you're entering the greenhouse. It's easier for things to grow because you've got all the other stuff out of the way and all the right stuff are there. And then all of a sudden you're able to grow. You realize something like, wow, I want this. I've tasted this now. That's what I want. So what helps create this? Let's write a few things down. First one, you're unplugged from the world. This is really simple. You have not been on social media for 4 hours yet today. Like some of you already would have been. Some of you would have still been asleep, I know. But you're unplugged from the world. You're not having all the distractions, all the stuff. I got to keep up with so-and-so. I'm playing games 6 hours a day. I'm like focused and I'm unplugged from the world, right? And those distractions are out of the way. Another thing that happens, you're immersed in God's word. If you're at camp, you're in God's creation. And all of a sudden, all around you, what you feel, what you're focusing on is God is speaking. And you're able to hear because you got those distractions out of the way. You're immersed in God's word, okay? Your sessions, your teachers, your reading, your discussing, it's all about God's word. Another thing that happens, you're surrounded by like-minded believers. You've got other people around you that are also saying, hey, I want to grow too. Like I'm here to not just have fun, which fun is great, but I also want to do something. I also want to grow. I want to... Will you help me follow Jesus? Can we do this together? There's something about going to camp together that bonds you, right? You enjoy that group now that you are with. Another thing that happens, you're focused on the Lord. You got worship. You're not thinking about yourself, your own schedule, your own time. Your eyes are lifted up way bigger and you're seeing what really matters. You're seeing God for who he is. So now you got worship. And then here's a huge one. I'll just go ahead and tell you this. I saw this so much with camp, you guys. You show up at camp or you show up at D-Town with this attitude that says, Lord, I want to hear from you. It's okay if you want to convict me. I am open to being convicted. I will listen. And here's the big difference. Listen, if you came to church every week with that same attitude that you take to camp or to D-Town, I promise you, you would grow a whole lot more. But that's part of the greenhouse. You show up with a different attitude, like, I'm here to learn. I'm just going to soak in whatever God has for me. And I found that at camp, I could ask campers like really deep questions, convicting personal questions early on at camp. And they wouldn't be like, excuse me? You know why? Well, that's why they're there. They understand this is part of my job. Like, I want to ask you these challenging questions. So this is a huge factor. If we could show up every week with the same attitude, guess what? If every morning you opened your Bible with this same attitude that you come to camp with, God, I'm about to hear you speak. Whatever you want to convict me about, I'm open to, right? Things would change in your life. So let's go back to this illustration right here. If you get this little branch with all of this really great fruit, okay? It's really good. If you were to say to this branch, how in the world are you able to produce this fruit? You know what the branch would say? I didn't produce it. I'm plugged into the vine, and all the nutrients that I need come through the vine, and this fruit just happens, okay? I can't produce this on my own. It's because I'm plugged into the vine. Does that make sense? What some of you are going to realize is you're not plugged in. And so this weekend, you get a taste and you see it, and then you want to go back, and we're going to look at what Jesus said, and you're thinking like, okay, I'm going to try really, really hard on my own. And the thing is, sorry, you can't. Okay? But now that you've tasted it, imagine this. You go on this big horseback trip through this beautiful canyon. You watch this sunset, and you experience like, I just love this. This was an incredible few days. Is this going to be as appealing to you anymore? Are you going to be like, man, I missed that big trip we went on. Let me put my quarter in this little machine. Oh, yeah, this is exactly like, no, not at all. Now you know what you're missing, and you want that. You're not going to settle for this anymore, right? Right? You don't want to settle. So this is our goal. What can we do to help create that greenhouse? So look in your outline. We're going to go through a few things to fan into flame, which Paul talks about this, that you need to fan into flame the gift that God's given you. So what is it now that's been kindled this weekend that now we're going to fan it? We're going to make this a bigger fire. So here's a few suggestions. Number one, cry out for the desire and power. In Philippians chapter 2, here's two verses that are life-changing. If you don't know these yet, verse 12 says, hey, you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That just means not work for. It just means it's a serious deal. You need to work on your salvation. But here's the problem. You guys ever feel like this? I don't even have the desire to do that though, Lord. I don't even have the want to. So here's why I love verse 13. Listen, it says, for it is God who works in you to give you the desire and the power, the will and the want to. Because sometimes I'm like, Lord, I need you to give me the want to. But then even if I want to, I realize I can't do it on my own strength. You guys realize the fruit of my life on my own strength is this. Like the fruit of Chris Sherrod is impatience. It's harsh words. It's lustful thoughts. It's anger. It's not pretty. And that's why Jesus goes, no, but here's good news. I've come to give you abundant life. So I've got to cry out like, Lord, okay, please give me this because I don't want to do it on my own. I need your help. I need your power, okay? Related to this, here's the next verse. We're going to look this up together. Make it a priority to abide daily. Make it a priority to abide daily, okay? If I just had a branch, you guys know you can graft branches into vines or into trees. Whoops. Free food. 5-second rule. There you go. Enjoy. Do you guys know you can do that and it'll still produce fruit? You can graft them in. What you can't do, wow. What you can't do is I've got this branch and I immediately want some fruit. I'll just plug it in and here's the fruit and then I unplug it and I can go on my way. A lot of us think that about your walk with the Lord. Like I'll just plug in when I need something, then I'll unplug and be my own strength. Look what Jesus said in John 15, verse 1. Follow along or just listen. This is really important. We'll just focus on verse 4. Really, really simple. Jesus said, abide in me. That means remain, stay plugged into me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe? Like, apart from you, Lord, I can't do anything. I don't have the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I've got to believe that. And when I realize that, guess what? I'm going to stay plugged in. One of the main ways you do that, guys, is spending time in God's word and prayer. All my kids growing up, I told them this. You can't be close to God and far from his word. Do you guys know this? That is the main way that you abide. You can't be close to God and far from his word. So abiding means I'm going to stay in that relationship. I'm going to stay plugged in. Not just when I want something out of God, but Lord, I want you. I want Jesus himself. So make it a priority that you're going to abide daily. The next one, prioritize. There's the word prioritize again. Prioritize your time and your habits. Prioritize your time and your habits. When I was a teenager, I realized I want to start reading God's word. I am so inconsistent. Like sometimes right before I fall asleep, I'm like, oh yeah, I probably should have read something. Okay. And I'll just open my Bible. Okay, great. I did it. And I wasn't making a priority. Let me just tell you this. It was not until, guys, you need to listen to this, especially men. It was not until I found a buddy and I said, listen, I need you to help me. Can we both commit to reading our Bible every day? And we're going to ask each other every week whether or not we did it. Some of you guys, that's the next step in your friendship you need to be willing to take, that we're going to talk about spiritual things. I'm going to ask you to hold me accountable. You've got to make it a priority. Some of you, and you guys need to remember this, you have all the time you need for whatever you want to do. Do you know this? You make time for what's important to you. If it's important, you make time. If it's not important, you make excuses. You guys know this, right? With school, with practice, like you know that if something is important to you, you're going to make the time for it. Whole bunch of people all over our country tomorrow are going to make time for something called a Super Bowl. They're going to carve out time. They're going to make sure that, okay, that is set aside time because it's important. And the same thing in your life. You need to make time to do this. You need to rearrange your priorities. Maybe you need to think, before I get on social media, I'm going to make it a commitment. I'm going to read God's word before I do any of this stuff, because I get caught up in all these. I'm just on, and I'm like, how long have I been on this thing? My wife and I started using Screen Time where it keeps track of all this stuff, and it was really convicting. Like, oh my goodness, I'm spending way too much time. The reason I have that quote right there, desire without discipline, here's what you can finish the quote with. Desire without discipline is dreaming. That you think like, oh man, I really want to do this, but if you don't have the discipline to follow through, you're just dreaming. That's a nice idea. That's cute. Yeah, sure. That's never going to happen if you don't have the discipline and you're asking, Lord, give me the discipline. You're asking your friends, give me the accountability. Otherwise, you're just dreaming. You're going to have this desire this weekend, like I really want to grow close to the Lord, but then you're going to do nothing. Monday morning's going to come. Nothing's going to change. That was a nice dream you had there. That's not going to happen. Okay? So related to all of this, you need to ask yourself, so what voices are loudest in your life? What voices are the loudest in your life? Is God's word the loudest voice in your life because you spend time in it daily, not just on Sundays? Right? That's not the only time you're in God's word. But if all these other voices all the time are in your life and in your head from songs and meeting, all this stuff, and then once a week you might crack open the Bible, guess what? That's not going to be a very loud voice in your life. Again, what happens at camp, what happens at D-Town is you're all of a sudden immersed in God's word and you realize, okay, I tasted that. That's what I want. But now you got to have the discipline to follow through. So you got to reevaluate what voices are loudest in my life. Do you ever have any praise music on your praise list, on your playlist? Do you ever have anything where you're sitting aside time like, I need my brain to focus on what really matters right now. I need to be reminded what really matters. Okay. Next one, evaluate your closest influences. This is related to social media, but also this is like your friends. Again, your dating choices, all of those things. 1 Corinthians 15 gives a warning. Know what it is? It says, hey, listen, don't be fooled. Don't fool yourself. Don't be deceived. Wrong friends can ruin right living. Bad company corrupts good character. If you've got the wrong influences all around you, and that can be social media, but also just your friends, the person you're spending the most amount of time with talking to, all of those things, if they're not the right influences, it is going to corrupt your character. It's going to pull you down. Okay? It's like, come up here. What's your name? Come here, Ben. Ben, try to pull me down. Right? That's hard for him. Like, but if we were to switch it, come up here, Ben. Right? Are you ready? Thank you. Good job. Everyone tell Ben, good job. Good job, Ben. Listen, if you've got something that is really big and influential in your life all the time, it's going to pull you in that direction. Okay? If you've got all these wrong influences with your friends and you're trying to pull them up to where you are, that's going to be really, really hard. So you need to reevaluate, who am I surrounding myself with? And again, you want to have people that don't know Jesus, you're going to know them and love them and invite them to church. That's awesome. But your close friends that are encouraging you in the right direction, what are those friends like? Okay? Last one, church and community. I know this sounds really obvious, but this is where the Bible says, let's not give up meeting together. Some people are in the habit of doing that. We're not going to do that. But instead, we need to encourage each other. We need to spur one another on. Okay? This is the direction we're going. Who's with me? You need that community. That could be. People talk about a holy huddle. We shouldn't have a holy huddle. I think we need a holy huddle once a week or in community where we're together going like, all right, we're on the same page. You guys be praying for me this week. Ready, break. And then you're going to go out in the world. You're going to live for Jesus, but then you come back together. This is my group. This is where we come and I get encouraged. And we can have fun. That's awesome. We can talk about whatever, but at some point we need to talk about what really matters and what I really need. And will you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. You're using text to encourage each other. Hey, read this verse this morning. I'm praying for you today. Whatever it is. And I think girls can do that way easier than guys. Guys, we got to get over our pride and too cool for school. This is what we need for each other. We need community. Okay? So if you're not in a community group, hopefully you will be. Here's my challenge. All this might sound great. Monday's coming. If you don't make a decision now when you can think clearly, it's going to be really hard. So here's what I want you to do. Looking on this list, I want you to pick at least two things. And I want you to pray through them and say, Lord, this is what I want to be different. Okay? You can do more. You can do all of them. That's great. But to not feel overwhelmed, maybe just pick two things. Man, I need to spend time in God's word. I need to join a community group. I need to confess to a friend, like, here's my struggle. But if you don't do that now while you're thinking clearly, it's going to be way harder come Monday morning when you're back in the routine and all this other stuff to think clearly because you're not in the greenhouse anymore. After you do that, here's what I want you to do. You guys know it's okay to pray with your eyes open. Do you know this? If you need to be looking at the screen, I want you to talk to Jesus about these right now. I want you to ask him, cry out to him, say, Lord, give me the desire, give me the power, help me in this area, whatever it is. And you talk to him for a minute. Okay? And then I'll close us. So I'll give you just a minute to talk to the Lord through this. What do you need to change? What do you need to evaluate? Father God, thanks so much for this group of young people that you brought here this weekend for a purpose. Thank you that you are always present, that you're not just here, that you go with us back to our homes. And God, I pray for those of us who realize today we're just sitting on the park bench on Main Street and we are missing out on the abundant life that you offer, but we've tasted it and we want that. God, I pray that you would put in us the desire to do things differently. Thank you that you promised the power to live that out. And God, I pray for anyone in here who's realized that they're not even in the kingdom. God, that they would trust you to be their rescuer, the satisfaction that they've been looking for in other things that can only be found in you. But I pray for all of us in here that we would find community and fellowship and accountability where we can be honest and real with our flaws. We can be honest about what we want to do. We would encourage each other, spur one another on. And God, in all of this, we are so grateful that the desire and the power does not come from ourselves. The fruit is not going to come from ourselves. It comes from abiding in you, the strength to fight temptation, to obey, to live the life of abundance that you promise us is only going to come from your spirit working in us. Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. So God, I pray that we would daily walk in dependence. Thank you that you don't want our performance, you want our dependence. And God, we cry out to you in that. Help us to be close to you, close to your word. Continue, Lord, to just convict, open our eyes. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this weekend. And continue, Lord, to teach us. And we ask all of this in the name, the power of Jesus. Amen.